See you go with the long extended version when you got those Friday feels, man. That's Wordplay official right there on the introduction. Welcome in to the lowdown. I'm solo today. Damian Barling, and I thank you so much for being here. Jay Ross is out handling business with the Sac State Hornets. Jay Ross, Stingers up, all the way up. I know he's missing out on a fun one because that's what today is going to be. James Hamm, NBC Sports Kings Insider, is going to join us here in just about 30 minutes. Kings fans, I'm looking at the text line right now. I already know you are feeling good as well as you should be. What a fantastic game last night. What a fun game to watch if you were there. What a fun game to be a part of. We're going to dig into all that. We'll talk all things NBA. Things are looking good for the Sacramento Kings after two in a row. Not so much for the Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll talk about them. We all know Lonzo Ball can't shoot, but how bad is it? We'll touch on that. All of that here this first hour. The NFL suffered another casualty yesterday, man. Richard Sherman out for the season. The Seahawks win, but it's costly. He tore his Achilles. And now I have some thoughts on that because I've been courtside and I've seen players tear their Achilles up close. Not one of them got up and walked around or stood on the sideline for the remainder of the game. There's a conversation to be had. And we'll do that probably at the top of the 1 o'clock hour when we get to the NFL. Like I said, we got a lot of basketball to cover this hour. It's a fantastic college football weekend. We'll get into the Friday five storylines, players, games you should be paying attention to coming up this weekend. And as I said, it's a really, really good college football weekend. You want to jump in here and be a part of the conversation? Again, I'm solo, man. It's like Tony, just me and you today. 44-1140. That's the text line, 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140 here on the phones. As you heard Chris mention just a moment ago, Kings get a win last night, beat the 76ers 109-108. There's so many things to dissect. There's so many things we could talk about. De'Aaron Fox was not shooting well. Garrett Temple was not shooting well. But those two, the veteran and the rookie, came up big there in the closing moments of that game. And I'll tell you one thing that I love here, and as I said, there's a lot to dissect from that game last night. There's a lot, I'm sure, that you want to talk about. But that play, before De'Aaron Fox hit that shocker, right? De'Aaron Fox hits a mid-range jumper to win the game, and mid-range city lives. But before that, he had that play where he drove to the basket. It ended up being out of bounds. Next play was the one where he hit the jumper. I love that play. I love that coach sent him out there and said, hey, fastest guy on the floor, penetrate to the basket, draw a foul, get a layup. One or the other is going to happen. Sometimes refs get a little tight with their whistle there in those final minutes, which is fine. But for Coach Yeager to draw up that play, for Dave Yeager to draw up that play, and De'Aaron Fox to execute it, I absolutely loved. It said yesterday, the Kings were able to shoot 27 to 30 free throws. They could win that game. They shot 28 yesterday. It's the most that they've shot all season. That's a good look for them. Now, it'd be better if they had made a few more. You know, they were 17 to 28, only hit 60% of their free throws. But that number is so valuable for them because it's something they hadn't been doing. They beat Oklahoma City the night before, shooting 11 to 12 from the line. 12 free throws isn't enough. They've got to get to the basket more, and they did that yesterday. And that was just one of the many fun things to pull away from the Kings win last night. There was a lot of young talent on the floor last night. I mean, I'm not just for Sacramento. I mean, obviously, we had our De'Aaron Foxes. Justin Jackson was really good again. Had a pretty strong outing from Willie Cauley-Stein. Willie probably had the play of the game where he blocked the process on the other end of the floor after Garrett Temple's three. But, of course, you had Embiid out there. You had Ben Simmons out there. Man, so much young NBA talent on the floor last night at the Golden One Center. And it was really fun to watch. It was really fun to be a part of, whether you were watching at home or watching on the game. You know, the Kings had a lot of season highs. I got, even though Jay Ross isn't here, I got some great stats from him. I got some great stats from his Locked On Kings podcast. Last night, the Sacramento Kings had 29 assists. That's a season high. Last night, the Kings had 9 turnovers. That's a season low. Last night, the Kings made 12 three-pointers. That's a season high as well. Justin Jackson with the season slash career high at 19 points. So they set a lot of benchmarks for themselves yesterday. And, you know, that 7-0 run that they went on to close out the game was really special. Another note about De'Aaron Fox taking that shot there in the final moments. Remember, we had said before the season started, so many people were focused on who's going to start for this team. Who's going to start? How do we work Bogdan in? Remember, Zach Randolph was out for the first game. Okay, what are we going to do? And Bogdan was out the first game. How are we going to work these guys in? Who's going to start? De'Aaron Fox, man, we just need to start him right away. One thing that we said was, don't focus too much on who's starting. Focus on who's finishing. And your boy finished the game last night. De'Aaron Fox was in there when it counted. De'Aaron Fox didn't start, but he played 29 minutes last night. Justin Jackson, again, 29 minutes last night. Zach Randolph, 29 minutes. We're starting to see, we're still not getting in to that 34, 35, 36-minute category that Jay Ross and I were pushing for earlier this week. But we're starting to see like a couple of players, their minutes increasing just a little bit, game after game. I mean, this is, you know, Justin Jackson fell 26 seconds short of hitting his second straight, you know, 30-minute mark here. So Dave Yeager and that coaching staff, Elston Turner, everybody there, they obviously have some confidence in Justin Jackson and what he's doing. And again, Justin Jackson, he didn't start. Don't worry about who's starting. Worry about who's out there when the game is on the line. Garrett Temple was out there with the game on the line. De'Aaron Fox was out there with the game on the line. Willie Cauley-Stein was out there with the game on the line. And that block he had on Joel Embiid, just as big as what Garrett Temple did, and just as big as what De'Aaron Fox did moments later. Just listen to this. Is G-Man on the call last night. Absolutely love that. That got a more audible reaction from me at home than the De'Aaron Fox shot did. Because when that ball went out of bounds and De'Aaron Fox and the Sacramento Kings got a second opportunity at a game winner, I thought, I guess technically not a game winner, but a go-ahead. I thought, okay, I think they might hit this. I didn't know what Philadelphia was going to do with their possession, but I thought the Sacramento Kings might hit one, and I popped big when Willie Cauley-Stein got that block. So it was a lot of fun. As I mentioned, we're going to talk with James Hamm, NBC Sports Kings insider. Obviously, he does the post-game show with Doug Christie and Jim Cozumel. He's going to join us here at 12:30. Of course, we'll take your thoughts, your calls, your text messages all day here, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You can get us on the text line at 44-1140 as well. Keith, what's happening, my brother? Good to hear from you.
Hey, you too, man. Happy Veterans Day to all those who served.
Good call right there. That's my bad. It's actually tomorrow, right? But today is the day
exactly.
It's being observed. Yeah, but good on you for calling that out, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, of course, you know, I have to call in and give my two cents about the game last night, Rockets and Cavaliers. Two things, man, and then I'll take your questions off air. I think Clint Capela this year may be the most improved player. People talk about Steven Adams, Marc Gasol, some of these big guys, Dwight Howard. But the things that Clint does for the Houston Rockets is amazing, man. Rebounds, block shots. He finishes well around the basket. He's active, you know what I'm saying? Good player there. And then secondly, LeBron James has had some high turnover games recently. And it seems like nobody talks about that, you know. But when James Harden does it, you know, it's the talk of the town. You know, and then lastly, coming to the NBA this year, Damian, it seems like the NBA had their narrative already written that it was LeBron James or Giannis for MVP. And like last year, after 10, 15 games, you guys kind of just deemed Russell was MVP just because. My question is Harden. I mean, what more does he have to do to get that award, man? Because we're, you know, first out west with Golden State. He's passing, he's scoring, he's rebounding. We're missing CP3. What more does that guy have to do? Because it just seems like he doesn't get his due.
Well,
or, you know?
No, Keith, I hear you. First, let's keep it in perspective. We're pretty early, and I know for us it's fun to, you know, throw out postseason awards 12 games into the season because that's just what we do. We need content for 3 hours, and it makes for fun conversation. But if I were to create remember this, too, about James Harden, Keith. I know that's your guy. He's lost the MVP twice to guys who have had historic seasons. Russell Westbrook had a history-making season last year, and Steph Curry had a history-making season before that. So, like, let's not take into account is just like, oh, James Harden's been robbed.
That, Damian, but well, he was robbed because the first year Steph won, Steph had the better team. Harden had nobody, and I thought the definition of MVP was the most valuable player. And last year, the narrative was Russell has nobody. They were 6 seed out west, and they won 46 games. And James says, I thought it was about winning ball games. So it seems like every year it changes year to year. Like, what's the criteria?
Well, no,
and let's stick to that.
Keith, that's a great question is what is the criteria for MVP? Because we felt like for so long it's the best player on the best team. Whereas you look at other guys, and last year is the first year where I really feel like it went to someone who wasn't on the best team. You know what I'm saying? But if we talk about right now at this moment, it's Giannis, Kyrie, and James Harden. 12 games in, that's it. Giannis is going to fall off just because – the Bucks aren't good enough to be in the conversation. But Kyrie and Harden, right now, today, that's the MVP conversation in my mind. Giannis is in it too, but I don't think that's going to hold long term.
And the last question, man, and thanks for just letting me kind of roll here a little bit. What's your perspective on the Thunder? They're not defending.
Yeah.
They can't shoot a three ball. They have no bench. And I told you this 2 weeks ago. I said, dude, those three guys are awesome, but they have no bench and they can't shoot a three ball. Where is their scoring going to come from? And you said they're top heavy and they're just fine. I'll take your question up here. Thank you, man. Thank you, buddy.
Keith, we appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. We're going to get to Oklahoma City here later on in the hour, about 12:45. We'll get into Oklahoma City. We'll talk a little bit more about what Houston did against Cleveland last night. We'll talk about the Lakers got beat by the Wizards again. Lonzo Ball shooting. I know we like joke about it. It's bad, man. This might be historically bad. James Harden did a lot. James Harden damn near did something historic last night. We'll tell you what that is when we get into those other NBA games in just a little bit. I do want to call you out on something right there, Keith. You mentioned Oklahoma City's not defending. That's actually not true. Oklahoma City's a really good defensive team. The second part of your statement is what's accurate. Where are those shots coming from? And again, we have some. I guess perhaps surprising numbers that Oklahoma City put up, or I guess in this case, didn't put up last night. All of that stuff was going on while the Kings 76ers were going on. So we'll touch on those, I promise. We'll touch on all of that NBA stuff here this hour. As I mentioned, James Hand at 12:30. We'll touch on the Monday Night Football game last night, another casualty for the NFL. Richard Sherman tore his Achilles. No lawsuit. Like, I'm refreshing Twitter. I'm looking at ESPN. I'm waiting for the breaking news bar to come up. Jerry hasn't sued anybody yet. He was talking about it. Jerry was talking about the potential lawsuit this morning on his radio show in Dallas, but no lawsuit. Is this going to be one of those 5 p.m. news dump lawsuits? Like, Jerry's just flexing his muscle, trying to show out and be cute. Like, we talked to Amy Trask yesterday. Jerry Jones isn't going to get anything out of this lawsuit. He's just trying to make a point. What point is he trying to make? That he's in control? I think everybody thought he was in control. I think now Jerry's doing himself a lot more harm than good. Cause I think he's pissed off owners. Like, he's pissed off people within his circle. But if that happens, it's supposed to. That's what we were told. If that lawsuit goes down, we'll bring that to you, man. Just, you know, I swear, news breaks on this show on a rather daily basis. So hopefully we'll have some news regarding that for you. As I mentioned, we'll talk about the NFL, the Seahawks getting their win last night. Man, how does this set up so nicely for the Philadelphia Eagles? And look, I hate to, you know, this feels callous to say this, but look at this. The Seahawks have lost Richard Sherman. The Cowboys lost Ezekiel Elliott, at least for 6 games. The Packers are playing without Aaron Rodgers. Can you name 3 bigger threats to the Philadelphia Eagles than those teams right there? I mean, you can't expect the Legion of Boom to be the same without Richard Sherman out there, can you? That was brutal to say. And, oh, did you... The NFL's concussion protocol, Russell Wilson going under the tent for about 0.2 seconds, running back out, getting back out on the field, finishing the drive, ends in a punt, and then runs back into the tent. And when did that tent become a thing? Is that this year or last year? Because I think that was the first time that I had seen the tent actually fold up and over like that. I don't think I'd ever seen that happen before. At least not live. The NFL's got a lot of problems. We tried to document some of these yesterday when we were talking with Amy Trask. The NFL has some issues. And you got Doug Baldwin and Michael Bennett and Richard Sherman. You got these guys sounding off about Thursday night football again. Goodell is mad about the deal that his boss has offered him. We'll get to all of that at 1 o'clock. James Hamm coming up here at 1:30. Kings beat the Philadelphia 76ers 109-108. Two wins in a row for the Sacramento Kings. De'Aaron Fox, first game winner. 19-year-old De'Aaron Fox is the youngest player in the last five seasons to make a game-winning field goal in the final 30 seconds of the fourth quarter or overtime. Bradley Beal was the last player younger than Fox to make a shot like that. Bradley Beal was just a few months younger than De'Aaron Fox. That's courtesy of our friends over at Elias. Again, De'Aaron Fox was 3 of 12 before he hit that game winner. Dude had it. So what's that tell you about what Dave Yeager thinks about De'Aaron Fox, and what does that tell you about what De'Aaron Fox thinks of himself? Because on that first play, coming out of that timeout, on that first play, play was drawn up. Fox, get to the basket. Simple as that. He got the assist. Again, what do those final couple of plays show you about what Dave Yeager thinks about De'Aaron Fox, about what De'Aaron Fox thinks about himself, and about what his teammates think about him? This rookie's the real deal, man. And you can see it. You can see it. Again, Garrett Temple had hit the three-pointer that brought him within one just a few seconds earlier. He was the one who found De'Aaron Fox. He was the one who got the assist there on that final basket. As mentioned, Dave Yeager draws the play up for De'Aaron Fox to go to the basket, either get a foul or get a layup, one or the other. Didn't go that way, but that's all right. It worked out. Still love the play call, regardless of that result right there. I love that play call because there's no way I'm going to dismiss or talk down about Dave Yeager drawing up that play for De'Aaron Fox when every time we come in here a day after the Cavs lose and I pose the question, why doesn't LeBron just drive to the basket? Who's going to stop him? Who's going to stop LeBron? Who's going to stop LeBron when he penetrates to the basket? Who's going to stop LeBron when he's going 90 feet to the basket? Nobody. Who's going to stop De'Aaron Fox? Totally different. Totally different styles in that no one wants to get in front of LeBron James when he's penetrating to the basket. For De'Aaron Fox, nobody can get in front of him because he's just that much faster than everybody. De'Aaron Fox and Garrett Temple helped the Kings close that game on a 7-0 run. And again, if you, for whatever reason, missed that, go back and watch the final quarter. That was as entertaining. Correct me if I'm wrong, too. That was as entertaining of a Sacramento Kings basketball game, certainly as we've seen this year. There's no question about that. But I think that's as entertaining of a Sacramento Kings basketball game as we've seen in a while. I was, even as we were heading there into those final possessions, you know, I'm looking at this a couple of different ways. As we're heading into, you know, after the block from Willie Cauley-Stein, Jay Ross is going to be gone tomorrow. I know Kings fans are a little bit more hyped. The phones are a little bit more active. Text line is a little bit more jumping when the Kings win. But I'm watching that game feeling like this is a net positive. Regardless of the outcome, it's a net positive. Obviously, you always want your team to win. But had Philadelphia, had Ben Simmons come down and hit that jumper to win at the buzzer, yeah, there's certainly a letdown factor to it because, again, you want your team to win. No one's selling. There's no moral victories. I totally understand that. But when you look at that game in perspective of the season, like, what are you mad about? Unless there's just some terrible defensive lapse at the end. If, you know, we talked about the Oklahoma City Minnesota Timberwolves game a few weeks back where the Thunder just played that game to perfection and Andrew Wiggins hits a 35-foot bank shot to win. Really, you can't dissect that and walk away mad. had that shot at the end of the game gone in from Philadelphia, I wouldn't even have been mad because there's just so much, again, so many net positives coming out of that game. And I just I can't point to this stat enough. De'Aaron Fox, 3 of 12 before he took that shot. De'Aaron Fox didn't start for the Sacramento Kings last night, but still played 20 minutes and was on the floor when it mattered the most. Now you want to bring up a question, George Hill. Like I don't know. I wish I knew. Remember, George Hill missed the game for personal reasons a couple of days back. He really hasn't played well. He hasn't played well this season. He was 0-4 last night. We're talking about confidence that De'Aaron Fox has or seems to have had last night. Is George Hill, I hate to psychoanalyze professional athletes because that's not what we do. It's what some of us pretend to do, but that's like I don't like doing that. But I don't know what else can explain George Hill's output over the course of, you know, the first 11 games of the season. He just has not played well. Is it that he knows De'Aaron Fox is the guy moving forward? Because I don't care how good De'Aaron Fox is, but don't put him back into the starting lineup. He's doing just fine where he's at. Now, we'd all like him to shoot better. The end result last night was perfect. That's fine. But, you know, when we break it down, 13 shots, 11 points, we want that to be better. Again, the outcome's going to mask that stuff. The final couple of possessions there for the Sacramento Kings with Garrett, Willie, and then De'Aaron Fox, that's going to mask some of the bad here. But there are some things that you want to see De'Aaron Fox do better. There's some things that you want to see the Sacramento Kings do better. I mean, Willie's defensive play was fantastic. I mean, I think last night was the first time he's cracked 12 points since scoring 21 against the Houston Rockets in the opener at the Golden 1 Center. So you still want a little bit more from Willie. But big play moments against the process? Can't ask for much more from Willie Cauley-Stein there. You definitely can't ask more from De'Aaron Fox, at least in those final 24 seconds. Great job by the rookie. Great job by the veteran, Garrett Temple. And great job on Dave Yeager calling up that play. Please keep those texts coming here at 44-1140. And remember, I'm solo today, no Jay Ross, so I'm going to be a little slow responding to these text messages. I'll read as many as we can on the air, respond to as many as I can during commercial break. But please know we're reading all of them. We see every single one of them. Please keep them coming. We got James Hamm, NBC Sports Kings Insider, next here on The Lowdown. That's how we're rolling today, baby. Just me and you. If you can tell me what movie this is from, we'll give you tickets to see Sac State Football, the Causeway Classic, November 18th, but you got to call 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You tell Chris what movie that Tony song is from, and we will get you to see the Causeway Classic. That's where Jay Ross is today. Not the Causeway Classic, but he's taking care of business for the Sac State Hornets.
The one it's most famous for.
Is it in two movies?
I don't know. I'm just saying that someone might call
it. I mean, where did it what soundtrack is it on? Which one did it originally? If it was on some movie that came out last year, no. What song was, what movie was Just Me and You originally from? That will get you that family four-pack of tickets to see the Sac State Hornets. Happy to bring in NBC Sports Kings Insider, co-host of the postgame show with DC and Jim Cosimore, James Hamm. James, great to have you on. Appreciate you joining us. It was a fun night at the Golden 1 Center. I want to start negative, though, because we were just talking about it. George Hill, what's going on with George Hill? Do you have any ideas, any theories, any hypotheses?
Man, he's off to a slow start. I'll say this. The personal issues that cost him the Detroit game, from what I know, that was a death in the family.
Okay.
And so the Kings are usually hands-off on that. That wasn't some existential vacation by George, but I think he knows as well as anyone else that you just can't go out there and have an 11 game stretch to start a season where you aren't playing well. I think a lot of it has to do with who he's played with in the starting lineup initially. They're really kind of slowed his game early in the season. It's him and four non-playmakers to start the season with Buddy Hield, Z-Bo, Willie Cauley-Stein, and Justin Jackson. But then he kind of got in a rut, and now he's watching young players take over. And, you know, I don't know if he's looking at it and saying, I'm getting left behind, but it's been a very lackluster start to the season. And I think he knows that too. Everyone can see it, and hopefully he'll wake up out of it, and that would just be another nice piece that the Kings have.
Is it one of those things, James, where, you know, guys are like, it's all right, he's a vet, he'll shake his way out of this, or is this something that where you're at practice, you see guys around George Hill or post-game or in those closing moments or whatever, kind of converting around him like, hey, man, it's all right, you're part of this, we got it.
Oh, yeah, I think, you know, walking into the locker room before last night's game was different than it had been all season. There was a lot of smiles, a lot of good conversation. George Hill was messing with Buddy Hield about some dialect issues. They were all having a good time. George Hill was part of this. And so I don't think he's on the outside looking in and just, an observer in this deal. He just knows, just like, you know, Zach Randolph had to play himself into shape, that he's got to get himself into game shape and he's got to get himself into a rhythm. And you're seeing him try to force the action here and there and get into that rhythm. But he's got to look at this and say, I'm probably the one guard that can get to the rim at any time, not because of my speed, but because of my guile and my experience. He needs to start doing that. I watched him balk on a couple of three-point attempts last night, which were shocking. He needs to start shooting. And, you know, I think he'll wake up out of it. He was really good for Utah last season.
Yeah. James Hamm, Kings insider for NBC Sports, with us here on The Lowdown. All right, let's get to more of the fun stuff here. I know you talked to a lot of the Sacramento Kings vets about De'Aaron Fox last night. What did they have to say after his first game winner?
They just love him. I mean, he's such a ball of energy, and I think everybody in that locker room is really having a good time with him. Him and Justin Jackson are close. Him, you know, Garrett Temple sits right next to the two of those guys, and, you know, Garrett was just like blown away. He said, you know, the guy goes out there and has like really not a good shooting game at all. He was struggling most of the night, but he wanted it. You know, he took the ball and almost turned it over the first time, and then he came right back in and hit the game winner. I think all of the Kings are rallying around the youth of this team. They all, you know, understand that they're in one giant boat moving in a direction, and that direction hopefully is progressing and getting better each 10 games, you know, every night coming in and playing hard. But, you know, the veterans love him because he's got so much energy and he's got so much speed and talent. And you're just waiting for that moment where, you know, you get to say, hey, he was my rookie when I was a veteran. And, you know, look how good he is now. He's a, you know, 8-time All-Star or something. That's what they're looking for.
And how does Dave Yeager react to these moments? Because he has a very a stoic personality when it comes to addressing the media, and you can never really get a feel for what he's thinking. But how does he address these players in that, like, you know, okay, Darren, perfect, you hit that game winner, it's great, we got the win, but there's a couple of things we got to talk about because you're still not shooting well.
You know, I don't think he does that. You know, when you're dealing with a young player, you have to understand what are teaching moments and what aren't. And for him, he wants to rally around the positive. I think his post-game comments the previous game against OKC were so much more on point and what you're looking for from him. He said, you know, it started to feel like it's okay. And he meant it's okay by it's okay to lose games and to get drubbed and to get run out of somebody else's building. And he said, it's not okay. You know, you need to bleed for your minutes. You need to bleed for your playing time. And he really went off on sort of a strange thing that you don't see him do very often. But I think it really tells you what he's trying to do with this team. And you saw that the team slipping into this whole, you know, 86 points over a three-game stretch. And they're losing, and they're like, you know, it's okay, we're young. And it's like, wait, no. That's not what being young means. What being young is, you're growing and you're learning and you're doing things the right way, and you come up short because you don't have the experience. And so I think he's got a good pulse on this team, and I think he's really aiming them in the right direction.
Do you, James, as someone who, you know, is just you know, super glued to every movement the Kings make out there on the floor. Do you notice anything just very obviously different? You know, last night they had a 38-point quarter. A couple of nights ago they had a 10-point quarter. What do you notice when there's such a dynamic swing in points per quarter there for the same team?
I think it's pretty simple, and I know basically, in my opinion, if you look at the statistics of this season, the Kings don't go to the rack enough. They don't try to score at the rim, and when you do that, it does a couple of things. Number one, either you score or you get fouled, and very seldom do you just flat out miss. And the other thing it does is it collapses the defense and opens the corners for wide open three-point shots with corner threes. Our lifeblood in the NBA at this point. And so what happens with the Kings is that if you're not attacking the rim, you're not doing this basic thing that every team does, then you really start to struggle and things start to go away where the other team is dictating what you are doing on the floor. And we've seen it throughout the season. Any veteran team that goes up against Sacramento, they force the Kings into taking nothing but mid-range shots. The Kings are last in the league in three-point attempts. They're like second to the last in free throw attempts. They're second to the last in shots at the rim. All they're shooting is mid-range shots. And that's not because that's what the coach wants. It's because veteran teams just bully them and show them where they're going to take their shots. So when you see them go up against a team that's all over the board like OKC, then you get the same thing. You get all over the board from the Kings. But when you see them go up against a young team like Philadelphia that doesn't understand how to enforce their will on somebody, then that's when you see a regular Kings game, a regular team that looks right, that can shoot three-pointers, that can take the ball to the rim, that goes in for, 26, 28 free throw attempts. That's a normal everyday basketball game. And then it comes down to who's got the better talent, who hits the most shots. So I think we're going to see that a little bit here over the next couple of games because they're going up against young teams. They're going up against a Knicks team. They're going up against an Atlanta team. They'll be able to show, you know, what they can do. But as soon as they start playing veteran teams again, you're going to see that same thing happen again. And until the Kings learn how to get through that and how to not allow a veteran team to push them around, then you're going to see sort of hit and miss. You're going to see 10-point quarters. You're going to see 40-point quarters. You just won't really know what you get.
Around here, James, we call that hashtag mid-range city. Mid-range city. That's what we call it here on the Lowdown. Yeah, you were right. 28 free throw attempts. They were so unaccustomed to getting to the free throw line, they were only able to hit 60% of those free throws they took. Before we let you go, last night, was it a figurative win for Willie Cauley-Stein?
Man, Willie Cauley-Stein played really well. And I talked to him after the game, me and Jason Jones from the B, we both talked to him. And he said, look, I'm just trying to get back where I was last year. I think the crazy thing is Willie Cauley-Stein made such a huge impact on that game. Mm-hmm. And he only played 17 minutes. And I think that's something that he needs to understand, that his impact has to come every single minute he's on the floor. I mean, the two blocks on Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter coming down the stretch, that's what made that whole win happen. I mean, the Kings went on a 7-0 run to finish that game, and a lot of that is on the defensive stops of Willie Cauley-Stein. So he even came up big on the final play. He played tough D against Embiid again. I think he's growing. He's trying to get back to basics, but he keeps coming into seasons with this, you know, giant idea that he is a offensive star. And when he figures out that he can be a good offensive player, but his real bread and butter is on the defensive end and as a rebounder, then that's when he's really going to grow and take off.
What's a good night for him? Like if you were to put the ideal stat line together for Willie, what would it be?
I would say 12 points, 8.5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and 2 steals, a steal and a half. That's where he should be. He should be almost like a old school AK-47, Andrei Kirilenko style defender that just plays really hard defense, hits an occasional shot, gets his money on rebounds and putbacks, and doesn't have a lot of play sets run for him.
A Kirilenko reference here, folks. You are welcome. You're not going to get that anywhere else here on this Friday morning, I guarantee you. They got the New York Knicks in New York tomorrow. James, thanks so much for your time, man. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime, guys.
All right. That is NBC Sports Kings insider James Hamm. There were some other games going on in the NBA, some you may have missed. Your boy Lonzo Ball, he can't shoot. And when I say the boy can't shoot, I mean the boy can't shoot. We got the numbers. Plus, why did OKC drop a 4 straight? That's next on the Lowdown. Congratulations to Sean. He got the family 4-pack of tickets to the Causeway Classic when Sac State plays Davis at Hornet Stadium on November 18th. You need some more details on that, go to khdk.com. The movie was, we've got Do the Right Thing here on the text line. We had a Bad Boys reference. We had a New Jack City reference, Menace to Society. Come on, guys. Anna P. got it here on the text line. Anna P. got it here on Twitter. A number of other people got it on the text line. It's Boys in the Hood. Come on, man. Y'all are better than that. Used to love that song, too. That song was on every mixtape I ever gave to a girl. Every single one. Every one of them. We were talking with our resident Rockets expert, Keith, earlier. We were trying to talk about the Kings. He was eager to talk about the Rockets last night. They had a win against the Cleveland Cavaliers. James Harden had his second triple-double of the season, 35 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists, and had a season high of 5 steals. Only Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan have had a triple-double that includes 30 or more points and 5-plus steals in a single game. That is the second time in the last 2 seasons that James Harden has done that. He did against the Clippers last December, but the Rockets were able to roll over Cleveland. I wouldn't look at this one from Cleveland like, oh man, what's going on? The Rockets are better. The Rockets played better. Cleveland, I absolutely believe, does have a switch. They just don't have a switch that's going to kick in for marquee games during the regular season. They genuinely do not care about that stuff. The nightcap, though, on TNT was interesting, if nothing else. It wasn't enjoyable, but it was interesting. Oklahoma City lost their 4th straight game, lost to Mike Malone and his Denver Nuggets yesterday. Oklahoma City is 0-6 in the Western Conference. That is eye-opening. Perhaps more so. In the 4th quarter, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm going to run this highlight of Paul George shooting in the 4th quarter yesterday. That audio brought to you by the Thunder Radio Network. He didn't take a single shot. Paul George, not a single shot in the 4th quarter. Westbrook had 3 points in the 4th quarter. Here's a stupid stat, and we love stupid stats. Somebody actually keeps track of this. This is somebody's job, and God bless them because this is extraordinary. The Oklahoma City Thunder have the fewest passes per game in the entire league. The second least amount of passes in the entire league is the Washington Wizards at 266. Oklahoma City passes the ball 257 times per game. That is the lowest in the NBA. Someone kept track of that. Russell Westbrook was 6 of 22 yesterday. Couldn't even get to the foul line. Wasn't aggressive. 13 points. We mentioned Paul George. He had 13 points. No one could score in the 4th quarter. Carmelo was shooting 50%. He had 28. They were a mess. They're 4-7 right now. Oklahoma City is 4-7 right now. They haven't beaten a Western Conference team. And they got the Los Angeles Clippers, who are struggling as well, coming up this weekend. I think that might be coming up tonight. But you know what they did? When things go bad, what do? You hold a closed-door meeting. Yep. That's what the Thunder did. Shut the door, air all the grievances. The media had to wait 35 minutes to talk to the Oklahoma City Thunder because immediately after the game, they had to hash everything out. We got to shut the doors. Players only. Let's get this worked out. What's going on here, guys? Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this Oklahoma City's 2nd players only meeting? Because the first one didn't work. So I guess if at first you don't succeed, have another one. Unless you're Lonzo Ball, don't do that. Because your boy, and I know some of you are taking far too much joy in Lonzo Ball struggling the way that he is. The Wizards beat the Lakers last night. This is like the second time in the last week that they've beat them. Washington's a significantly better team. They got a balanced effort there from Bradley Beal. John Wall was back on the floor. Otto Porter Jr. was really good yesterday. I know who I'm talking to. I know this is Northern California. I know there's a handful listening across the country on radio.com. We appreciate you. I know you're many of you are conditioned to dislike the Lakers. I would buy stock in the Los Angeles Lakers right now. They have a lot of players. Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball. I don't know if Julius Randle is going to be around or not. Adrian Wojnarowski is just adamant he's not going to be around. I'd buy stock in this team. I'd buy stock in the Sacramento Kings as well. But I'd buy stock in the Los Angeles Lakers. I'd buy low right now because it's going to pay off in a few years. But Lonzo Ball is shooting. You keep hearing about how bad his shot is. Let's put some numbers to how bad it is. His shooting percentage is 29%. His three-point percentage is 23%. And his free throw percentage, he's a guard. His free throw percentage is 53%. He is flirting as a guard with Dwight Howard, Shaquille O'Neal, Andre Drummond type numbers. He doesn't go to the foul line. He shoots an average of 1.2 free throws a game. That means there are games he couldn't even get to the free throw line. In most cases, you're getting two free throws. He can't shoot to save his life. In fact, it's the second worst shooting percentage through a player's first 12 games in the shot clock era. Historically bad. And I'm quite certain he's getting tired of people asking him about it, asking him about the way it looked. I mean, the shots went in college when he took them. I don't know what's different in the NBA, man, but he is shooting at a horrible, horrible clip. Hour number two of the lowdown is on the way. We got some NFL to get to. More bad news for the NFL, some awful news for the Seattle Seahawks. How great is Russell Wilson? Did Seattle cheat last night? We got all of that coming up as hour number two of this Friday edition of the Lowdown kicks off next.